In case, I know you're going to have to, some memories from beyond you, after you get all the memories, up to your whatever knowledge you have, or I have to, or she have to. You can't play with it. See what I mean? Yeah, I guess I feel kind of tired.
Well, maybe you want to take a break and I can interview Susie for a while.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay? Okay, testing. Testing. This is tape number 2. And it's also November 17th, 1985. And I'm talking to Susie Williams this time. Got all these wires.
You just learn how to operate it.
Uh-huh.
You have to do lots of things on it.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm watching this.
Oh,
as
yeah.
As long as that's moving, I can tell.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much the same thing, you know, I was trying to get before, and maybe we can talk more about just... the past. We could start about when you were born,
mm-hmm.
and your family or whoever raised you, your parents.
I go, well, what's my mm-hmm. head?
Okay.
At first, my mother is from down Dolbisloo, and my father is from Dockley. What do you call Dockley? It's above Hooslea. I don't know how many miles above Hooslea. And they started to stay with each other, I guess. Them days, they just started to stay with each other. They never used to get married. And then they started up in springtime, and they move up to around Hughes, I think. My mother used to say they stay around there first. She never say how long they stay there. Oh, about years, I guess. And then they move up to Ellicott. And she said that I had two brothers, I think, before me, and two sisters, two or one maybe. I just remember she said one, and I think she had three before me. And
did you know their names?
Mm-mm. I didn't know their name.
Mm-hmm. What was your mother and father's name?
My father's name is Leon. I didn't know his Indian name. And my mother is Ida. Her name is Alexi. She used to say, I don't know why they used to call me, named me after Eskimo, she say. So Alexi means socks, you know, those fur socks, you know, long ago, then we used to have socks. We used to have fur socks, that's all. That's the one. And they move up to Ellicott and they stay around there. And she say, in winter time, them days, they never used to stay one place. In winter time too, they travel around the mountains, out in the countries, and they do that. They went out hunting, and I guess maybe for fur or something to eat, where they could get them days. They say there's no moose. Whenever they see moose, they see one moose here and there. Not many moose them days. And there was caribou, they say, about 5 caribou in one bunch. That's all to here and there. And so it was hard time for them. But there's lots of rabbits, they used to say. They live on that. And they go out hunting, the whole family, by sleds, dog team. And they never used to have many dogs too, about 5. A person had lots of dogs. They had 4 or 5. They just had 2 or 3. That's what my mother used to say. And at first, she used to say that, down around below Hawk River, that's where they call Dockley. They used to live there, and in fall time, they trap. There was lots of minks, she used to say. And they trap a fox, an otter, and beaver, and then they catch those before Christmas. No Christmas them days. They didn't know nothing about Christmas. And before Christmas, when the days are short, they all gathered up and they all go over to Kubuk River and down river around maybe around Ambler, I guess. Above that, maybe. That's where they used to go. And those people around there, there's a ship come out from Russian, I guess. I don't know where the ship come out to them, and it land around Kotzebue. And they buy stuff. These people over there, they buy stuff like ammunition and tobacco and beads and those fur skins, reindeer skins, leggings. And they used to get those seal skins and seal oil. That's what they go over there for. And they buy those with this fur, and then they come over, they come back over. She used to say, all the people used to do that around there. That's how they used to have oil for lamps and things like that. They eat it too. They never used to live without oil, seal oil. And in summertime, the older people, the men, they go up river around in canoes. All the women stays behind. They hunt around Biddles or Wiseman, someplace around the John River. They used to get fur skins from around there too. And they bring them down.
So they would line up or something? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Caribou skins and sheep skins. And then in fall time, before freeze up, they come down with it. They used to make moose-skin boots.
What did they do with the sheepskin?
They dried them. They came home with them, and they, in wintertime, they make clothes, parkas out of it. Parkas, mitts, and boots. They tanned them, and they wore those.
The sheepskin parkas are real warm.
Uh-huh. And they used to do that long ago. That's how they used to have clothing. Because there's nothing much down that way. And I think the reason why, that's the reason why they move up. And then I'm going to go back to this first word I started to tell the story. They go out hunting. They all went out, and these people over Yukon River, Ross Stevens Bill's people, Rampart people, they go over that way too. You know where the road is? Around there, they hunt out that way too.
Oh, you mean the Hall Road?
Uh-huh. And then they meet each other over there someplace around head of Old Man River. And then they say, why don't you people go down to Yukon with us? They tell them. So they went down to Yukon. And they stay there. They stay there at Stephen Village 1 year. And then they move down to Rampart. And then they stay there 1 year. And then they say, we're going to go back over to our country. So they went back over to their country. Before they come over, there was no white people around there when they left. And then they move over. And they say there's stores, everything was over there. White people, boats was traveling around back and forth on the river, they say. So they started to make village at Allakaket. And my mother and them first made the house there. And then these Episcopal people, they came up there. And they made a mission house, I guess. Then after that, they made this church. And then by that time, 1905, October 25th, I was born at Allakaket. They say the village started to get bigger. They used to have village. When they came over from Yukon, there was village down about 10 miles below, 9 or 10 miles below. It's above Old Man River, mouth of Old Man River. It's about a mile above there. There was a big village there, they say.
Did they call that village?
Arctic City.
That one?
Yeah, Arctic City.
Arctic City.
Yeah.
Just below Arctic Circle, in the east. Pretty close. Huge is about
30
miles.
Mm-hmm. Some people made houses down there already, they say. There's village there. And then after my mother and them, they make house up there, and there's mission house and church there. Then they start to move up. That village started to get bigger.
Allakaket. That Arctic City, did that have a native name, Indian name?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
They said that was a good village, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't wish, but 2 miles below, just my old man, mm-hmm. That's an Indian English name, too, also. It's about 2 miles north.
And
my girlfriend did.
Then
me.
I was born there, and then
that's what you've been having to learn too.
I've been learning.
That's what you're talking about.
I was baptized by these priests, Episcopal priests. They used to live there. And Then after, I don't know how long after, they started school. Out school. Them days they used to have only 6th grade books.
I'm going to ask you a question after that.
When I was 9 years old, my father died. So I was in orphan. Just like well, only my mother started to raise me.
Died, I got lost. But then what?
And then only me, I have 3 sisters when my father died.
Which sisters are those? What are their names?
One is next to me is Lula. And then next to her is Felicia. And next to her is Helen. Helen is Henry Beatus and Annie Band and Cue Bible's mother. Mm-hmm. And these two, they died right away when there was about 5 or... This next to me, she died right away. She was small, about 5 years old. And the next one, she died about, she was 9 years old, I think, when she died.
She died of flu or something?
I don't know. They just get sick and they died right away. This was next to me. She died right away. She got nosebleed and she died right away. And Helen, she lived for a little while. She had this, let's see, she had three boys and one girl. She had 4 when she died. Fred Bible was married to her.
Fred Bible.
Uh-huh. And then I was only me, I used to help my mother with wood and water. In them days we used to have hard time because everything is not like right now. But things were cheaper though. And my mother had to get moose skin from someplace. Somebody give her moose skin. And she tanned moose skin and she sewed. She made gloves and moccasins, beaded gloves and moccasins and mitts, those big mitts. And sometimes she made parkas for somebody too. That's how she used to have some money to buy something with. That's the way she raised me. And she never showed me how to sew. So I didn't learn how to sew when I was 18 or 19, I think, I got married. I didn't know how to make nothing. I just know how to work, that's all. I know how to cook, though. And then...
Well, how did you get your food, then?
Uh-huh.
With your mother?
Yeah, we work in summertime. There are lots of fish in summertime. And my mother and I, we work all summer, fish all summer. And in fall time, when we go back up to Allakaket right away, we stay in fish camp. And when it's freezing up, there's lots of grayling. We get lots of grayling with hooks too, through the ice. And sometimes we set fish nets out too, under the ice. And that way we used to put away lots of food before it freeze up. Then after freeze up, we move up to Allakaket. And there was lots of rabbits them days too. That helps us. And some people give us meat whenever they get meat.
The bird, the things she would sell to get a little bit of money,
uh-huh.
Who did she sell those to?
There's a store at Bedless up there.
So So they'd sell them to the miners? Uh-huh. And
yeah, that's what they used to do.
Probably not much money for it, how much
you get? Yeah. I don't know how much she sold them, those things, when she sold them. They were stored at the Lakaket, but they don't buy them. Because that, it's kind of out of the way. But up Peddles, it's easy to sell things. Because there's lots of white people up there that had no winter clothes. Mm-hmm. So they buy them. Mm-hmm. We used to snare rabbits in winter time too. And we used to catch lots of rabbits. And then we had piles of rabbit skins. And my mother dried them. And she used to soak them, all of it. And then she cut it up in strings. And it got long, more rabbit skin. And we'd twist it. And just like yarn. It gets just like yarn. And then they crochet it just like we crochet yarn. That's the way they do, and they make big blankets out of it. They used to sell those too.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
His mother used to make those kinds too, and he used to twist those things too. Our job is twisting this thing.
You twist it like this? Uh-huh.
With those little stick, and there's a little hole end of this rabbit skin. And we poke it through there, and we just go like this, and it just twist it easy. Mm-hmm. And just like yarn. And we make a big balls out of it. Mm-hmm. And then my mother and them, they just nail it to the wall of the rope. They nail the wall, rope to the wall over there and over there. And then they started do like this on it.
I used to do that to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a stick and go like this. Mm-hmm. You know, fish and wildlife, that's why I don't believe it.
And that way they used to make big rabbit skin blankets too.
Rope is what they made the blanket.
They started on that. Oh. Then fur is on both sides. Really good.
It's warm?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an insulation.
Really warm.
Yeah.
And they used to make those kinds of blankets too. They used to sell them for $80. That was cheap. It lasts a long time too.
How much did they sell it for?
$80.
$80?
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of work to make those.
Yeah.
You know, that was a commercial one.
It takes lots of rabbit skins.
Maybe how many rabbit skins?
I don't know.
Probably 100?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe 200.
Gee, that's why nobody makes them now. That's
no.
Much work.
Yeah. And there's no rabbits anyway. And we used to live on those things. And some people cut wood, the people that are eligible to cut wood. Us women, we used to cut wood.
320.
Yeah,
good old knowledge. And that way we used to make a living. And finally my mother got married again. And then we have stepfather. And my stepfather started talk with me. He started teach me how to make a living. He tell me stories. All those things my mother never used to tell me. And then...
Who was your stepfather?
My stepfather was Little Beatus. You know him?
That's the one Joe talked about.
Yeah.
No, I don't recall he did. He You might.
Well, that's how they call them.
Yeah, I know.
I heard that name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His Indian name is Gitnigo.
Gitnigo, good luck. I told him earlier. You know,
happy for him to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a little boy. Mm-hmm. They've been married for some time. Mm-hmm. I guess the grandma didn't want to work. You know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this Gitnigo, he come to be a boy, and the two of them. Mm-hmm. So the good man called him and said, Nero means you're old. You know? You're not that old yet, but you will remember it. So she had that boy. Like you, an old man. Before she had a boy. Yeah. So, I come to be an old man and think I come to a little boy and get up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like this. And I look, see? Mm-hmm. Put the daddy to us, the mama too.
Then I learned how to sew wood, work on wood. Now, I used to help my mother with fish. When we used to stay in fish camp, I used to go out to fish net, and I brought in fish, and my mother cut fish, and I go out again, look at this other fish net.
In canoe? Uh-huh. By yourself?
Uh-huh.
You don't set net by yourself, huh?
By myself. By yourself? Just go across, that's all. Just go across, that's all, and we go long ways. We just stay across where we had fish net. And then I bring fish in. My mother cut fish and I went to another fish net and I bring another fish, load of fish. Then I start hang fish. And that way I learn how to work on fish. And in winter time, some people used to help us at first when with wood. They haul wood for us. Sometimes they cut wood and they say, we cut wood right there and you could haul it in, they tell us. So mom go out and she haul wood. Then after I'm old enough to haul wood, I haul wood by myself. I started to do that. Lots of work to do, and I never go to school much because I have to help my mother. Just once in a while I go to school. But these teachers, they let me go because they know I help my mother. And there's another girl was staying at the mission. She was an orphan. Her mother died, and nobody to take care of her. She stayed missing for a while. She stayed with my mother once in a while, too.
Who was that?
That was Eva. Her name was Eva. That's, you know, Hannah Anderson, her mother. Uh-huh. I don't really know her last name. They say her dad was white guy. His name was Jack Brazil, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And she used to help my mother, too. And that way we had help, too.
Mm-hmm. So life got a lot better after your mother married
you? Uh-huh. Yeah. My stepfather started to talk with me. He told me stories and he showed me he told me to unravel snowshoes that I don't know how to do. But he told me unravel it. Only that way you're going to learn and you copy that other side. He told me. That was good. So I started do that. That's how I learned how to build snowshoes. Mm-hmm. It got easy with me. And my friend, his niece, my stepfather's niece, she used to do all those works with her father. Her father makes snowshoes and sleds for sales. He sells snowshoes, sleds, all winter long. He makes a living for his family too. And then that way, my friend know how to build snowshoes. She's younger than me. And then she tell me, come on, stay with me. I'm going to build snowshoes. You're going to watch me, she tell me. I used to stay with her all day. She do it right away too. That's how I learned how to build snowshoes.
From her?
Uh-huh.
Who was that?
That was, her name was Violet. I don't think, you know Elizabeth Brookman? Her sister. Uh-huh. Her father used to make lots of snowshoes and for sale. People buy snowshoes, sleds. He used to work really good. And
a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. But he do it fast too.
And so then you were learning lots of things. You were a teenager then?
Uh-huh.
Maybe 16,
yeah.
17?
Uh-huh. Yeah. This my friend that built snowshoes, they used to live up around South Fork. There was another village there between Bedlis and Alaka. There was a big village there. All of them died in about 5 or 6 years. So that place is gone.
So then you worked real hard with your family even after your mother got married. You just helped work. Everybody worked together.
Uh-huh.
And then you said you got married at 18 or 19?
Uh-huh. My husband was one of those Simon's boys. Frank Simon was my husband.
Mm-hmm.
We got married and we had 2 girls and 1 boy, and he died. And these are two kids died too. This boy died after his dad died. And this girl died before he died. Only Alice is living.
That's the only one.
Uh-huh.
So when you got married, that was that's arranged marriage? The family, your mother arranged that marriage, or how did that?
Yeah, my mother.
Old style.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And after that, I was just lost. I stay here and there.
You were young then?
Uh-huh.
How old were you when he died?
I was born at 1905. And he died, I think, 29. Oh,
so
no,
you were young?
Not 29. Before that. Yeah, just about 29. 28 or 29, I don't even remember.
So, gee, you were only 24 or something?
Uh-huh, yeah. So, I was single for 2 years after that. And then we met each other. And we started to stay with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I had 6. Let's see. I had 3 girls and 4 boys. And we lost part of our boys. We lost 2 girls. That's our two sons and two daughters. And we adopted two boys and one girl. It's all living with us.
Mm-hmm. So what were all your children's names you had together?
Bill Williams. Mm-hmm. Rita. Oh. And Ralph. Mm-hmm. We raised this one boy. His mother died with childbirth, and his dad drowned. And so we took this boy.
Oh, who was that?
That was George Lyons. He lived at Alcarpet right now. Mm-hmm. He's married, and he had two little ones. And we raised James, our grandson, mm-hmm. our daughters. But his mother died when he was a month old, so we raised him. Mm-hmm. And we adopted Q and Madeline's girl. She had three children now. Mm-hmm. She is the youngest.
Mm-hmm. So, before the two of you got married then, how did you get along for those couple of years?
I stay here and there.
With
people, yeah. Mm-hmm. I stay part of the time, I stay with my in-laws, used to be. Mm-hmm. I stay with them long time after I lost my husband.
So when did you and Levine get married?
33. Mm-hmm. That's 53 years now, I think.
So you went from Alakaket. Was he living in Alakaket then?
No. He lived at Hughes. Uh-huh. He was back and forth too. Because he lost his father when he was young, and he have to have some kind to live on. So they just go back and forth.
Just for working?
Uh-huh. He started to work in boat. And them days when we were young, we used to cut wood. Because go back and forth in summertime.
Steamboat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we used to cut wood when we were young. That's how we used to make a living before we trapped in
Fort. You did that when you were married?
Uh huh. Yeah.
So you'd actually be cutting with a saw too?
Uh huh.
You worked hard, huh?
Yeah.
You worked like a man?
Yeah.
Men don't work like that now.
No, nothing. That's what I was telling last spring. Before my grandchildren go, I used to tell them that. They used to laugh and look at me. Long ago, then my mother and I, before my mother get remarried, we used to come down to Hughes in winter time. We started around end of January, and then we come down to Hughes, and then his mother and them used to live there, and then we go out in the
country. She was thinking about me,
huh? We used to go out in the country. We used to come over to Malozi. I used to hold jeepool and in snowshoes too. We had four dogs. And my mother was behind the sled. I walk all the way down from Alakaket to Hughes, then over to Malozi, then down river. I don't know how many miles we go down river, Malozi, then we started over again, over the hill mountain.
From Malozi
uh-huh.
back?
Back to over to Craig River, and then we'll go back up to Hughes.
So you walk by 450 miles.
One winter you did that?
Yeah, and then we went up to Ellicott.
How come you're traveling so much?
Oh, we just, that's what they used to do long ago.
Looking for game?
Yeah.
Not really, but you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just like you and I going down the street with the car right now.
They used to like to travel around. Mm-hmm. So we,
that time you went, it was you and your mother, and who else was along that trip?
These people that I tell you about, Hannah's mother, she got married, and she had two children, I think. Yeah. She had two children. And then them, they come down with us.
Her husband uh-huh. and the two children, and uh-huh. that's all?
Just my mother and me, that's all. Four of us.
Well, that's hard work traveling, too.
Yeah. No trail. So they have to break trail before we move. And then while they break trail, that we stay at the camp and we cut wood and stay home, this Eva and I.
Well, you said you were on the Jeepo. Usually men ride the Jeepo.
Yeah.
Were you little then? Were you a small person?
No.
Jeepo
is something like this. This is called a sled. Two of you sitting down there. On the right hand is a pole. Hang right there.
Like this.
And you're on skis?
Yeah.
No skis.
Them days, no skis. Snowshoes walking.
You had to do and hold yourself.
That's harder yet.
Yeah.
You gotta keep up with the dogs.
Yeah.
Sometimes I run.
I always thought, Jeepo, you're on skis, but you're on snowshoes.
Yeah,
way after I got married.
It's in the university book. Yeah.
After I got married, my
husband. There's a pole right there. What, 6-7 feet long. You guide the big sled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen pictures, but I always thought they're on skis.
Yeah, after I got married, my husband made skis. And then he used it at the jeep hole, and I was back of the sled.
I don't want her anymore.
I start to have easy time now. Then sometimes they go out hunting, and he say, "Only you have to travel with those people," he tell me. So I do. I have to. Then I used skis. That was easy for me then. But in the snowshoes, really hard to avoid.
You know why George had to win for 10 years straight? She's the trainer. Dogs.
You were training his dogs?
Yeah, we used to sell those. Yeah. My son, I used to raise pups.
She'd
drive
those, she'd let him tell you about that.
Yeah. I used to make leaders too. And I drive them since they were small.
You know, for sure, I thought you were going to lose the dogs.
Sometimes.
Come right down that bank and just slide that little ball.
Sometimes I used to really scared, but even that, I have to do that. So I start out with dogs. Sometimes I don't know where I were, then after dog, and nothing happened to me. I never let the sled go. Then after that, I feel better again.
Fast dogs.
Yeah. I used to be scared sometimes.
How many dogs?
On the bank.
Nine.
Sometimes eight.
And just you?
Uh-huh.
Once in a while, 11.
You used to let me go.
My
yeah,
yeah, I used
to.
Lose
dogs. to come back.
I used to teach leader, train leader. I used to have good leaders.
Oh, that's a leader.
Yeah. Since they were small, those pups, since they were small, we started to talk with them. They understand. They know what we mean. Then they do what we tell them to do. We tell them to stop and they stop. That's the way our dogs was. Mm-hmm. And we used to have good dogs.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd work for somebody else too.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that was, he was saying those were once George Atla.
Uh-huh.
He bought dogs from him.
He used to use our dogs lots of times. For many years.
But several years ago.
Yeah.
That's when he was first.
Lately, when we...
Our son, he went 9 times straight.
Your son did?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, over there.
At carnival races? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He still have lots of dogs. I think they have over 20 yet right now. They're raising pups. He's not able to race now. I think he's getting old too. Maybe he thinks he's going to sell dogs. I was thinking.
So you would be on the G-Pole, that trip you made then, out Malozi, all around.
That's not only the one time I travel. We used to go up to South Fork, and we used to go up to where they had pipeline.
Just pick them up, I'm not sure.
That's around there too. I used to travel
to where?
To around where they had pipeline.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, by G-Pool. By G-Pool.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. And we used to go around Old Man River from Alakakit or that way. And in winter time, they only some, I don't know.
Wintertime, you go to Old Man too?
Mm-hmm.
And then?
We traveled around there too. There was caribou around there on the mountains. That's why we used to go out that far. And then they get those caribous and get those skins and leggings, and they send you, and the food, for dry meat for summer.
Did you stay out for spring camp?
Yes, we used to stay out in spring camp every spring too, because there was muskrat hunting. We used to sell muskrat skins. All the people all over the world used to do that. Uh-huh.
That was up Canoody you'd stay?
Uh-huh, yeah. There's lakes around there. That's only where the lakes are. We used to go to the parties with boats. They haul boats over.
With dog sled?
Uh-huh. And then in springtime we go down river. Good time. We used to go, we travel, row. No kicker them days. But down river, which we've down. And
What made it fun? What things did you do?
We landed and down. Here and there we land, we stay overnight, we go out hunting in evenings on the lakes. That way we used to get more muskrats. And then we go down, we came out at the Old Man River, mouth of Old Man River. And then we stayed there. Sometimes we just come out and boat come up with groceries. Fresh eggs and potatoes, onions, and it land. The boat land where the camps is, and they buy muskrat skins, and then we buy food that way. Well, we were just about running out food, but we still have sugars and tea and flour.
Did people like the fresh food?
Yeah. There? We like the eggs and the potatoes. All the people started cook potatoes and onions. People are just happy. We used to have nice time. Travel back and forth.
Well, what would people do together at the camp? What kind of things you do for fun?
Oh, they used to sing, and they used to play. We used to play baseball in our ways. We used to throw ball at each other. And we were in group in women's side and group in men's side. We play against each other.
Playing and throwing a ball at each other? You try to hit somebody? Yeah.
No, we just throw it at each other, us women. We threw ball at each other and the men catch it, try to catch it. And when they threw ball at each other, we try to catch it too. That way we played against each other like. We used to have lots of fun. And they used to make a round wheel out of a willow bark. They make round ring out of willow. And they just do like this, wrap around it with this willow bark. And they make it big and strong. And they used to roll that one too. And they had they made a sharp sticks for it. And then when they throw it like this, the men would just line up on one side. And the one end, men throw it and it rolled. And they used to poke that sharp stick at it.
To try to stop it?
To try to stop it. There's holes in between, in middle. And they used to stop it that way too. Used to have lots of fun. The other end, there's another guy that roll it back and forth.
So it would be people from all over? Mm-hmm. People from Hughes and...
Yeah, people from Allakaket, they all go out.
Mostly people from Allakaket South Fork.
South Fork people, they used to go out all by themselves too, up there. They used to have lots of lakes. Oh, they had lots of lakes up there too. You know, after that big earthquake, there's some lakes are dried. Not many lakes now.
It happened right after that earthquake? So, sounds like things were real different then, huh?
Yeah. When we travel in springtime, we come out at the Old Man River, then we go up by line to Allakaket with dogs. Before they used to, they never used to use dogs. I remember when I was small, we stayed in fish camp, and on Sundays, my mother and my father, they get up early in the morning They said, we're going to go up to, we stayed 3 miles below Alakakit, our fish camp. They said, we're going to go up to Alakakit to stay in, to go to church. So in the morning, my dad started to take a line. We stay in boat. Sometimes I say, I want to walk on the bar with. So they take me out, and I walk on bar. And then we go up there, and then we go to church. And they used to have a church at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then 4 o'clock in the evening, twice a day on Sundays. So we go to church in the morning, then in the evening. Then after that, we go back down to our camp. We used to do that. I remember. And we then they never used dogs. Just my dad take a line. He pulled the boat up. Us, when we started to have our own dogs, we started to teach our dogs. And then since I was small, I started to drive dogs, and I know how dogs is, and they just do what I tell them to do. So they take a line, just by themselves. When there's sweepers there, I tell them to go around it, and they go around it.
They understand,
huh? Yeah.
How would you tell them, what would you
I tell them, ji and ho, and they go around. They know it gets stuck right there. If they go around the other way, they know it's going to get stuck. So they know where they're going.
You know how to pick out good dogs,
uh-huh,
too.
Uh-huh, yeah. And after, when I started to stay with Levine, he'd go out working. He started to go out working. He never used to work that much because there's nothing to do around there. But after after I started to stay with him, there's miners came around Hughes. And he started to go out to work. In summertime, springtime, in June, he leave. All summer long, I take care of my kids. Just me. In springtime, he work all summer. And I have to take care of my kids all summer, besides fishing. And only my dogs used to help me. When I had to fish not far away, I just take one dog, and that dog helped me. I just go down there, and then I tell him to get off. Then he start take line. You know what he's doing. Every day. So he know what he's doing.
So he would just help you line?
Yeah. Just one dog helped me. And in springtime, I make pack sack for him. And he know how to pack too. And in the lakes, I used to have fish net way out there for them to feed them fish. We had, I don't know how many dogs, 5. We used to have 5 dogs for a long time because we had kids and we can't afford to feed too many dogs beside kids. So we had only 5 for a long time. And then in springtime I had fish net out on the lake. I used to get large pikes. I had canoe there. Levine's old canoe, and I used that one. I don't know, maybe it's in my packs.
Huh?
No, I thought I'd take it out. Look in my pack sack.
Yeah.
And then, what I was going to say.
You're saying you just had 4 or 5 dogs?
Oh, yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, in fall time, around October, he come home. And in summertime, my kids, they say, Mom, we like to eat meat. We get tired of fish, they say. We see beaver when we go to fish net. Sometimes I put them in boat, not all the time. And they say, shoot that beaver, shoot that beaver. We won't eat meat. And one time I did, and that I shot that beaver, and it sunk. Then we go back and board there, but it didn't come up. So we went across. I said, that's why I never shoot beaver, because they say it sunk. I tell them. I don't know. Yeah. We had seining net. It's already.
Mm-hmm.
We had seining net. And the next morning we come across. I said, we're going to send for it. And we come across and we just landed at the, it was big eddy. And we were just coming there. And I see it float down. Oh, it, that beaver float up. Look at it, I tell them. And they started to get happy. So we're going to eat beaver meat now. Then we go over to it. Just take it easy, I tell them. It's going to sink again if it was too much wave. Then we were going over there, and they said they got a hold of it, put it in boat. Maybe it's spoiled, I tell them. And then we went across, we never seen. We went across, and I started skinning it.
You were rowing all this time?
Uh-huh. We were rowing. We never had a kicker that time. Then we went across, and I skinned it. It was all right. I cook it. They were happy. I used to go out hunting for ducks too for them. There's lots of ducks around there. And I shoot that one too, and I feed them meat, sometimes little meat. Uh-huh. Now and then. And then we see moose. Mom shoot at it. They tell me. So I did, and then I killed moose. They were so happy to have meat.
How old were they those time?
Like they were 9 or 6 or 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you did get a moose then?
Too. Uh-huh.
Where did you shoot? Was that summertime too?
Uh-huh. It was just in summertime. Then that meat would last long time with us.
How did you dry a lot of meat in summertime?
We dry meat. That's the only way. No freezer doing this.
So you teach your kids to work then too, or you do it all yourself?
Yeah, they help me. We go out seining and they seine with us. One time we nearly dragged them in the river. It was in dark in August. You know, in evenings when it gets dark, there's more fish running. It starts to run in the evening. So we started to go out seining. Alice was about 10 years old, I think. And these two was, one is 5, I think, and one is 6 or 7. And we tell them to walk on the shore with the rope. So they did. And we go out there and we start to go back. And I tell them to pull it back. And they say, it's hard to pull back, they say. And I tell them to go towards us, run with it. And You could drag it back that way, I tell them. Don't stand still and hold it. They were standing still. They thought we're going to stand still. And they started to drag out. And we didn't know because it was dark. And then I tell them to run back, run towards us, and you could get to shore that way, I tell them. We started to run in the river now, they say. I was scared.
Okay.
Nobody to help us. There's old people at our camp. His old people.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't do nothing.
Who was in the boat with you?
Alice.
Well, you and Alice in the boat in the smoke.
Alice and Rita, they were rowing. And we have put fishnet in the water. And we started to go back. And then I tell them, you could go back to shore now, I tell them. They say, yeah.
Gee.
It's okay if you let it go, I tell them. No, I don't think we'll let it go. It's all right now, they say. And we'll go back there. We catch lots of fish. That fish just dragged them out too, I think.
Because so many.
Yeah.
Those were white fish?
Yeah, white fish, all kinds of white fish.
All the fishing you did was for white fish?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You get, and then there's grayling late when they were running.
Uh-huh.
You get sea fish there?
Yeah. We get sea fish in fall time.
You get pike?
And right now, never used to catch sea fish in springtime, long ago. Right now we catch it in springtime too. So it must be running all the time.
Mm-hmm. Gee,
we cut lots of dry fish. We put lots of dry fish away, and in fall time too, we put lots of fish away, and then while that he come home, then he got paid, and we get groceries from the store. Boat full, then we take it down to our winter camp.
Which store would down, you go to?
Down, oh, at okay. Hughes.
Hughes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's when
James and them. And then we go down 35 miles. We had cash there. We put everything away. And then we come back up. And then we take all our kids down. We move down. We stay down there all winter. All spring too. After muskrat hunting, we go up. We have kicker now. We start drive kicker now. And that way we used to make a living. At first, you know, I say that I never learned how to sew. My mother never teach me how to sew. But I watch her when she sew. Because I have to go to school, and beside that, after school I come home, and I have to do the houseworking while she sew. And I watch her how to tan skins too. I never do it, but I watch her. After I got married, I don't know how to sew. I know how to sew, but I don't know how to cut out things. My mother-in-law started teach me how. I used to help her. And they were old, my father-in-law's old man. And he used to tell me, they used to call us grandchild when we used to stay with them. My grandchild, you cook. When you cook, I eat good. I eat enough. Those others, when they cook, I never get enough eating, he used to tell me. So I used to cook. He used to be happy. My grandchild cook for us, he said. I used to like them.
they treated you good, huh?
Yeah, they used to treat me really good. And that's why they used to keep me for a while after their son died.
So that when you were learning to sew, I mean, I see your work and I can tell you take care when you make things.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you do.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Uh-huh.
Is that how they taught you to
do
it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What did they tell you if you didn't do it good?
They didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
Just
they make you want to do a good job, though.
Yeah.
So did you ever make a living sewing then? You would sew?
Yeah, I still. But when after I lost my husband, then we used to buy things, what we made. Much. Just few people buy things, but not much. Then I started tan. I started to learn how to tan moosekin. This another woman, Levine's auntie. I told her to help me, show me how. Tell me how. So she tell me how to do it. And that way I started to learn how to tan moosekins too. I used to tan moosekins, but one time I stayed in hospital too long. I stayed in hospital 3 years and a half. In 1949, I ended in hospital. And then I was discharged in 52.
That was the TB?
So since that time, I never tan moosekin no more.
You just weren't strong enough after
that? Yeah.
They told you not to work so hard?
They tell me not to work hard.
That's probably how you got sick, huh?
Uh-huh.
Working too hard.
That dew pool, I guess. That did, I think. I always think about that. Because, you know, it's cold weather in February. You know, it's cool in mornings. Mm-hmm. I have to run with dew pool in the mornings, that cold weather. And that's when I think it did, I was thinking.
It's hard work.
But lucky I'm still alive right now. Since I stayed in hospital after that, I take care of myself.
But you still worked hard after that.
Yeah.
Just not on the jeep.
Uh-huh.
Not tanning. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know how hard moosekin is to tan.
Yeah.
They never did it, huh?
Uh-huh.
I hear people complain how expensive it is.
Yeah.
If they never tried it themselves.
Yeah. You know, we can learn all by ourselves. Somebody have to show us how to work. And that way we learn. And my mother and my stepfather used to tell me, whenever you see the older people, you give them something what they need and help them. Talk with them nice. They used to tell me, don't ever talk against people. Don't ever say a word against people, they used to tell me. Even they tell you something what you don't like, just don't say nothing, they used to tell me. And right now I'm still think about it. Whenever I see people, when they need help, I always try to help them. When I had something to give away, I always give them something too. Even money, I used to. When there's people is short, I used to give them money too, whenever I have money. But sometimes we can help people when we don't have something like that. We feel sorry for them, but we can't help, because we've got nothing to give away.
My old
grandma used to, my father's mother, she was, I don't know how old she was over 100 though, 115 or 20, or maybe less than 20, she lived, and she died. Not long ago she died.
Which one? What is
Maggie.
Her name? Oh, that's why they call old Maggie.
Uh-huh, yeah. That's our grandma. That's Johnson. That's my cousin. His father and my father's are brothers. That's old Maggie's sons.
Johnson Moses?
Uh-huh.
Oh. So she taught you a lot of things?
Uh-huh. She used to tell me, don't ever be stingy of food. Give them away. When you have extra, you just give them away to people. She used to tell me. If you do that, you're going to live a long time. If you don't, you're not going to live. She used to tell me. She used to tell us, I guess, all of us, I guess, because we were, she used to have daughters and sons. And she had lots of grandchildren. She used to have, they're all gone now. Just about me and Effie William and Johnson and Limbrook. I guess that's all we're living now. All of my cousins are going away too.
It must be hard just losing so many people and all the old people.
Yeah. I'm just about the oldest over there. Just Oscar Nicktoon and Frank Tobuk is only the older than me. He's living over there now.
Probably seems like not too long ago you were young, huh?
Yeah. And I was thinking right now, how much we used to depend on those old people. Now, who are we going to depend on? I was thinking. And I used to tell this story. Last April, I think, they used to have a meeting over there at Hughes. And I tell this story about when I walked down to around Losey from Alcacket with Jeep Hool. Nowadays, this young generation had everything. They had snow goal, and they had kickers. And when whatever they're going to do, whatever they do, they had machine take them all around. They never walk. And in evenings they come back. They think that they did hard work today. I tell them, they all smile and look at me. It was funny for me.
Because usually you're quiet, huh?
Yeah. And after that, Grandma really told us what she did and what we are. In. We had easy time when we didn't know. We thought we work hard. You see, your young people, nobody has snowshoes too, I tell them. And that shows you that you don't work hard all day, I tell them. It was funny for them.
They never knew you were on G-Pole like that before.
After that, they said, thank you, Grandma. You told us your story. We started to think about it now. How much work your people used to do. And as we It's like we don't do nothing. We work a little bit, but everything work for us, they say. What that we don't do, they say.
Do they ask you questions about any trout? What kind of things do they want to know about?
Why you have to travel long ways, they tell me. And they, I say, autumn days there's not much animals around. And where there's no moose. When I was young, I never used to see, we never used to see moose. And we don't know what moose look like. But we see them when they kill them. We see the skin and we see the foot. Legs. It had long legs. And we never see it when they kill them too. After it's all cut up, that's all we see, I tell them. But we see that one time I remember, I don't know how old I was. I was about 12 or 13, I guess. There's people come over from over Quebec, and they drive reindeer over. And that's how we see reindeer too. But I never see it close. All the people went up to there, and I have to stay home with little ones. So I didn't get up there.
And how then, close did they come?
Oh, they came out from, they came out at Alatin River, and they went across, and there's bar on the village site up there, about half mile up. Right now there's all willows, all big willows and cotton trees. There was bar right there. That there's no more bar there. Right there, they land, and they let them stay there for a while. This one store, the guy that had store, he wanted to buy one reindeer. Or he buy it, I guess. And they kill one for him there. That's why they let them stay there for a while, for about 2 or 3 hours. And all the people went up there, but I didn't go close to it. I just look at up there from the bank, that's all. Because I have to stay with the kids. Mm-hmm. That's how we see caribou, just like caribou.
They were coming over to visit people at Alatna or to try and sell reindeer?
They were taking it up to Biddles or Wiseman.
Oh, they had lots of them then.
I don't know how many they drive that time. About 20 or 15. Mm-hmm. And this one guy, the guy that run the store, he bought one.
That was Evans?
No. That's Gus Larson, they used to call him, long ago. Mm-hmm. He was a nice, good store man.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about when your mother and father went over to Kotzebue.
Uh-huh.
They went over, that's the same one. They went over there for trading.
Yeah.
They went over with dogs?
Uh-huh.
Or they walk?
Yeah, they walk. With
that's
one or
trip.
Two dogs.
That's a long trip, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So and they say them days they never used to have two dogs. They used to have only one dog because they don't have much to feed them. They have to save their food. And they have a line right here, and they pull the bow. I mean, they pull the sled with the one dog.
Oh, they put a line just like a harness on their shoulders?
Yeah.
In front of their arms?
Uh-huh. And they pull the sled with the dog. And the back person here, she have to push.
So they tell you they did that so you being on G-Po, you don't think it's as bad as them pulling sled.
Yeah. So. I never used to pull sled, though. I just hold G-Po, that's all, to keep the sled go straight. When it's light load, it don't need G-pole, but when it's heavy load, it have to have G-pole.
When you travel like that, what kind of load, what kind of things did you have in your load?
Oh, the belongings, there were what, stoves and tents and the food.
And, you have
and the beddings.
Dry meat on there,
uh-huh.
Food you catch.
Yeah.
Probably several hundred pounds.
Then. Yeah.
Really heavy load.
Some frozen fish, sometimes meat, frozen meat.
Yeah, real different way of living then.
Yeah. And when somebody get meat, they just share everybody. They just share it to all the camp people. So they have, they all have meat. And when it's over, they have things over, sled, one sled load. We have, they have to take a load ahead. And that's the way we used to do too. So we used to take a load ahead, then go back and then come back with the belongings, all the belongings. And camp there, they take another load ahead again. That's the way we used to do that.
The men would take the load ahead, or uh-huh. You would take the load
yeah.
ahead too?
Yeah.
You did?
Uh-huh. Sometimes the men.
But when it was just like you and your mother, you would work like a
uh-huh.
man.
Yeah. I used to follow people with my load by myself too.
You ever have a time the way you worked hard like that and sometimes out by yourself where you ran into trouble? You had a hard time because you were by yourself?
Yeah, sometimes.
Like what kind of thing?
Sometimes we do. Sometimes when sled tip over with us, we have to take all the stuff out of the sled and then put it up. And then we have to put all the things back in the sled. And then we start again.
That's because the load yeah. is so heavy.
Yeah. Most did down the bank, sled tip over with us. It's hard to put it up by ourselves, this load of meat.
So heavy.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go down with G-pole down the bank, would you?
No, we don't do that though. We'll get hurt.
That's yeah. Yeah. That's why I was...
We have to hold back the sled to go down easy, even with the brake.
See?
You know, they used to have brakes on the sled.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell the dog to go down slow to easy. So they go down easy.
They would listen to
uh-huh.
you.
Yeah.
Really good training.
Yeah.
Dogs, huh? Well, maybe after they're running all day and working every day, they listen to them.
Yeah,
not...
they get tired too.
Mm-hmm.
They go easy with us.
So when Levine was working, when he started working for the miners,
uh-huh.
where was he working? Was that out at Hughes, out Indian Mountain?
Yeah, Indian Mountain. And after that, about 14 years, I think. One time he worked 10 years there, and one time he worked 7 years, I think, there. There's two different people, two different companies. He used to work for Alaska Airlines, too. And he used to go back and forth, down around Anchorage.
What did he do for them?
Load. He loaded up planes.
So did, he'd do that even winter time then?
No, in summertime. Besides working for the miners. And that's when he learned how to drive that heavy equipment. So he used to drive that. Mm-hmm. And that's why he said he never, people used to pluck their ears when they drive heavy equipment. It make noise. He said he never used to pluck his ear with nothing. And that's why he can hear. He's hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. And he don't like to wear hearing aid too. He had one. But he don't like to use it. He said it makes too much noise in his ear. Mm-hmm. One time in springtime, I take it. I was thinking. I asked him if he hear those summer birds when he's come back, you know, it make lots of noise. And I tell him, you hear those birds singing? He said, no. I never hear nothing, he said. Then I take his hearing aid to spring camp. We still always go to spring camp in springtime. And then we did. I like to hear those birds singing. Then one time we land and we went down and we land at the camp. And then we put up camp and I cooked and we eat. We stay up for a little while, then we went to bed. I hear birds singing. Then I tell him, here's your hearing aid, listen. I hear that bird is singing up here a little ways. So he put it in his ear. He said, yeah. First time I hear birds sing for I don't know how many years, he said. Then the next day, we started out again and we landed in different camp. Then we started to make camp. I was making tea and he said, and I tell him, oh, I hear birds singing, I tell him. And then we had all different names for those birds. I said, I hear that one sing, I tell him. He said, where's my hearing aid? He started to look for it. He lost it. He just put it in, he never put it in that little box he had for it. He just put it in his pocket and it fell out. And then I said, I wonder where it drop off, maybe in the river. You lost it then, I tell him. He say, yeah, maybe. I thought I had it in my pocket not long ago, he say. Then I start to fix it after I make tea. And then I took the tea off the fire and then I start to make bed with spruce browse. I hear something.
I forgot my snow shoes.
I started to fix the bedding with spruce browse. I hear something. Then I start look around. I move those things. I start to look around. Hear it drop around there. And I find it. It was on. I guess when it dropped, it got on. So I found it. I say, I found your hearing aid. I heard it. Maybe you turned on when it... Maybe you left it on, I tell him. He say, no, I turned off, he say. When it dropped, I guess it turned on by itself. It make noise, then I heard it.
Oh, that's why.
That's how I found it.